death is terrible because it's completely foreign to us deep within our humanity. In our very essence of who God had made us, death does not have a place. It's an invader. And along with its companion fear, death is a liar. Amen is right. But, everyone say but. But because of sin, it's a reality to us nonetheless. And interestingly enough, death is not the end. We sometimes look at that maybe early in our life before we come to knowing God and really understanding what I'm talking about. And remember, this is just introduction. I'm not spending the whole sermon on this. What we really see death is, it's a transition. It's a transition because nobody really dies. That's a problem for the person living his life any way he wants. I'm just going to go into blackness, nothing's going to happen, and off I go. That is not actually true. We are eternal beings, and I believe that that is proven in the rest of creation. That creation reflects that exact statement. Death is a lie. This is what I mean. And I don't want to go too deep into science. I like science, but I hope this isn't too deep. Nothing just disappears. We understand that. Light doesn't just become darkness. It's always light. These waves will travel on and on and on forever. They may disperse. It may be our conception they're gone, but they are not. Water, another aspect of our creation, does not just disappear. Though we have a lot of water today, tomorrow those puddles may be gone. Did the water disappear and just go off into non-existence? No, it transferred itself into another aspect of its gaseous or solid state, liquid state. It just went from one to the other. There's as much water today on the planet as there was in Jesus' time. Do we understand that? Maybe a little got into space and whatnot, but essentially there's the same amount of water. Matter, elements, same thing. The laws of thermodynamics tell us that energy continues on. We don't create it and it doesn't get destroyed. It transfers its state. It has different forms. Remember, this is all in the understanding of death with us, right? And so just like us, we will always be a constant, just in different forms. This reality that we say is natural realm is just one form. And the Bible says that it is a blip of an eternal state. It is like the grass that grows up and fades away in the hot sun. It's but for a moment, a drop in the ocean of eternal time. In fact, time was just created for us. There is no real time. Eternity goes on forever. Think about that for a moment. There is no beginning. There is no end. It just begins to overwhelm us. That's why God created time, so our brains could wrap ourselves around our natural existence. Sharing this with you, I really just hope to impart a different perspective on this account we're heading into in Genesis chapter 22 about Abraham and Isaac, because there's a lot of death going on here. And so I'm hoping us to see beyond the fixation of death being an end to death being a transfer. Let's pray. Father God, I hope that those words that have gone forth will help us to receive that which you want to say here. Lord, much has been said on Abraham and Isaac, and I ask that it be a fresh understanding this morning for all of us. Open our hearts, let our ears hear, eyes see, in the realm that you want for us to grow. I thank you for everyone who has made it here through the rains, and I ask that as we go forth through this week, that Lord, you will knit into our hearts something here that will make us different than we were this morning. We give you the praise in Jesus' name, and everybody says amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, the well-known account of Abraham and Isaac. God tells Abraham to kill his own son. I don't know how much more blatant I can just say the whole story in one sentence. What kind of God would tell a man to kill his own son? Now we remember Abraham is the vessel God has chosen to live, to give to the human race the understanding of Messiah coming in. So there was even a special anointing over Abraham. And the way God dealt with Abraham seems quite raw, quite intentional, in fact, very prophetic. And in the end, it's a real character shaper. God was laying a blueprint out for bringing forth the Messiah. So what is God exactly telling us here? And I'm going to have some points I want to get to, but I often don't mind saying the sermon in a sentence. If you want to write this down, you can jot this down. The sermon in one sentence. When God considers the life of a believer, he wants it all. He wants all of you. In fact, he demands our very best. And he wants us all to have to give at whatever the price to us. Man, you might be saying, but that's kind of hard. Why does God want so much? There's a but to this. Because his rewards defy explanation. Loved ones, we don't look at what God is asking us to give. What we're looking is beyond as, okay, I'll give because I know you're the God that is so abundantly awesome. You have so much more on the other side of that. And so when it comes to our goals, I'm not talking about just finances here. I'm way on the other side of that. I'm not talking just about goals, our interests, our passions, our burdens. He wants it all when it comes to our thoughts, our actions, our relationships. He wants it all. But the awesome thing is, he doesn't force that on us. He does give us the free will to choose, to be able to let him be our filter, to let him sift everything that we think, to go through him. And he promises good results on the other side. And this is the actual acting out of faith. The actual doing this understanding of not seeing what I'm going to get, but knowing God promises the good result on the other end. And what we call obedience is that action. And so we find here in Genesis chapter 22, I've been able to separate this out into three acts of this drama between God and Abraham. And so it's God and the servant of God. God and the servant of God. Anyone here a servant of God? Amen. I hope all of us understand serving God, we've had to come through death to do that. Did you die? Did you fall apart? Did you go to blackness? No, you were transformed. As the Bible says, you've been born again. You are a new creation. And understanding here in this drama, true, by the way, God and his servant Abraham, we find in part one, you can write this down, God tests Abraham. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now we have two aspects of the test here that God gives. First, you can write this in your margin or in your notes, it's intentional. It's intentional. God does not make mistakes. And he has a purpose for all that he does. And what he allows for a reason. The hard part is, loved ones, is we can't see it all. That's the hardest part of our faith walk. But then again, would it be a faith walk if we knew it all? No, it would not. And this command to be in Moriah at a certain mountain was the very picture of what was to come 2,000 years later through Messiah. He knew what was coming on. Abraham did not. Remember, let's just back off here. And this will maybe be said a couple times. We know the story. Abraham does not. So what I often like to do in these sermons and try to get us all to enter into the scripture of where they're at, not how we see it. That way we can understand a little more, maybe adapt it to our circumstances. Because how many here are in a place, a predicament, a situation God has allowed us in, but I don't see where this is going for any good. Anybody here? I understand that in my life often. So if we see that, we can now put ourselves into this intentionality of God's ways and how he brings forth tests. And God doesn't want any questions as to what he does. What he does want is obedience. But he is gracious. He does accept questions. Second to this test, it was a severe test. That's a no-brainer. Go sacrifice your son. Your only son. He had another son, but it was your only Isaac, the son of promise. The one whom you love. Remember, those were three aspects there to show the severity. I want that one. Sacrifice him to me. And I could only guess that though he doesn't want questions, we're humans and he understands that, that had to be a rough night for Abraham. I don't know if Sarah knew. I don't know if he said anything, but I don't know how much sleep there would have been in that tent. Did I do this? Is this because of Ishmael? Is this why what's going on, God? Am I going senile? Maybe I didn't hear the right voice. Maybe, I mean, anyone there, did I really hear the voice of God? This is just maybe something that the Bible doesn't tell us. The toll on Abraham was surely enormous, but this should remind us that because God owns us, spirit, body, and soul, he tests us thoroughly. He will sift through every place, everything thoroughly. And that testing, here it is, the key, it's not for God. He already knows all the answers. Who's that testing for? It's for us. It's so that we know we can make it through. It's so that we can pass the test and have assurance that our God will come through. Amen is right. And so in Isaiah 43:2, I brought this up to someone earlier and it was just a perfect understanding. When you pass through the waters, the Lord says, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. God says, I will get you through. I'm not going to take you around it. I'm not getting you in a boat. You're going through it, and I will take you through it. I get the glory. You get the confidence and the joy of praising me. That's the awesomeness of God's promises and his tests, to experience the deliverance, to experience the provision, to experience the victory. That's the ultimate faith builder. My faith isn't built because I have a God who loves me and I just go about my day. It's through the tests. It's through the victories that I see my God is a perfect on-time God. And so the first act of this drama ends. God tests Abraham. He reveals his response. Would he? Won't he? Part two we'll call Abraham's amazing obedience. Amazing because, again, Abraham doesn't know what's going on. In fact, do we all understand, not only does he not have a copy of God's word, he didn't even come from anywhere of God. He came from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was just listening. He wanted to know God, and he started hearing his voice. And so verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Now, I'm not going to be left there. There's six verbs in that sentence. When this is in Scripture, in the Hebrew language, when they're this intentional, he's trying to put the emphasis on something. And what I see here is the emphasis in rose, saddled, took, split, arose, went. Abraham was calm in his faith. He was going forth. He was going bit by bit. A deliberate response, a deliberate obedience, and it's really amazing considering the severity of the test. Would I have acted that way? Would you have acted that way? I think a lot of procrastination would be on my bill. I'd be questioning, appealing maybe, really, God, you must be mistaken. Maybe I'm not hearing, but Abraham moves forward. And as Abraham's obedience is immediate, it's also reverent, as we see in verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Abraham understood this was an act of the will to worship at this point. We ever come to a point in time where really I am so bogged down with life. The problem is so big. Do I really want to worship right now? I come to mind David when his act of with Bathsheba resulted in a child to be born. And God deemed that child mine. I'm not allowing that child to be born. It will die. And as David pleaded for the child's life, he laid on his belly. He laid down in sackcloth. And the child died. And what did he do? He got up and he worshiped. Everyone, what are you doing, David? Why are you doing this? My God has made the decree. I will now worship. It's in the hardest of times that worship is the sweetest. When you grab hold of him in your despair, in your destitution, humble yourself. Agree with God. Let him own you. Reverent. And then also, as I read there in the last part of verse 5, it's trusting. Did you notice there? Did we reveal there? We will come back. God just told him that you're going to go sacrifice your son to me. I have a feeling maybe Genesis 17, 19 popped back into Abraham's mind. That says, then God said, this was to Abraham, no, Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. Do you know when God promises something, he's going to stand on that? God's not like man. He's not going to promise something and then forget or change direction. He's an perfect God and promises perfectly. He keeps his promise. Do you believe him is the question. So I went through the Bible and just thought of a few verses because there are literally hundreds. Do you believe God when he says he has plans for a hope and a peace for you? Why don't you check out Jeremiah 29:11? I'm just letting everybody read that. How about, do you believe him when he says he will not leave you nor forsake you? Let's head on over to Deuteronomy 31:6. Sounds pretty clear to me. What about trust in him and he will direct your paths, as Proverbs 3:5-6 says? I want all you to read this. Quiet in your heart. Go ahead to 6. Can you go to 6 there? Looks pretty clear to me. What about all that you're going through? It will work out for your good. To those who love God. Romans 8:28. What does that say? Some of you don't even have to read that. You know Romans 8:28. That's some good news, loved ones. So write those down. Go back to them. God promises and he sticks with his promises. To some of you, need to be reminded of that this morning. Abraham believed God and so can you. You don't have to wonder, does God keep his promises? Is he going to get me through this? Is he going to provide? He says he will. And he will do it. And so as his obedience was reverent, his obedience is trusting. Also, we find here his obedience is literal. Verses 6 through 10. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now I'm going to tell you, if that happened today, we would have theologians debating for 100 years if this is spiritual or not. Is this something to be spiritualized or is this literal? What is the Bible trying to say here? Symbolism. Has to be symbolism. Well, Abraham believed it as literal. If there was ever a time to spiritualize God's word, this had to be it. But Abraham said, nope, this is literal. And so as the intent of what's going on and everything that's going on with his life and all the differences and all the problems, and I don't even know, he just says, I'm going to obey. I'm going to take what you said at face value and I'm going to go. But what is God up to here? All of this Let's put ourselves in his place again. What are you up to, God? Well, God is illustrating the prophetic. This is all about what's going to happen through the generations of Abraham. And his obedience is perfectly understood when we see Jesus. But let's look at verses 11 through 14. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. He does that three times in this section. Verse 12, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there were behind him a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord shall provide. No one else is going to take the credit. In fact, no one else can take the credit. It's all about God. And isn't it true that God sent his only son to be the propitiation for your sins? Nobody's going to take that from God. Nobody can take that from God. And that good news leads us into the final act of this drama. As Abraham's obedience is so unbelievable, we see God's reward to his obedience. And his reward is awesome and it's abundant. Verse 15 says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, as the sands which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Abundance, awesomeness. We have twofold of a blessing here. Physical. Yes, Abraham will be multiplied exponentially, but also powerfully. But we also have a spiritual blessing here. Remember, he doesn't understand this. He doesn't see the foresight. He's just obeying. All the nations will be blessed because of me. And we know now that through the Jewish people, Messiah would come and he would be a savior for all. For you, and for you, and for you. All nations. Many nations even represented here. And I want to close by going back into our text and drawing out one more point. Abraham wasn't the only one who obeyed here. Verse 9. I want to read this in understanding what's going on. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. At this point, the young man who carried the wood, so he was quite strong, knew who the sacrifice was going to be. And he laid down. Isaac also obeyed. He could have taken his aged father, but like the Savior that would come later, who could have called a legion of angels to come down, we have to remember Jesus voluntarily laid down his life to death. That's why, loved ones, in our obedience, are you willing to lay down all for that which God has given you? He chose to do his father's will and obey it willingly. And Abraham was a great man in our Judeo-Christian circles because of his obedience. But Isaac is another picture of Jesus, who is the perfect picture of God. And both of them were all in because they knew who God is. We have to remember who God is. Nobody can make up God beyond here. It fails them. They need to hear the truth. Are we pointing people to the Jesus who we know because of our actions, because of our words, because of our witness? We've been speaking about this on Sundays and Wednesdays. Are we sensitive to the Holy Spirit enough to tell, I have the courage to tell you about this? Do we have the power in our lives? Are we grieving the Spirit? Are we quenching the Spirit? Invite him back this morning. Let him fill you afresh. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And that price has been called to death. But the good news is he raises you back up as a new creature. Are you willing now to go forward? It's time to claim your destiny in Central Oklahoma and beyond. We have a day tomorrow he will give us. The rest of the day, it's up to him. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. As he gives you each day, proclaim the good news through your witness, through your voice, through your courage to share with those who need to hear this very story of a God who will always be perfect for everyone. Father God, I thank you for this morning, opening our eyes to who Abraham and Isaac and the obedience of being the God, to the God who is the perfect one to obey. Lord, to this culture, I believe obedience and submission is a toxic term. Lord, help us to be the sweet aroma to those who want to hear and listen. And we understand that that same aroma will be the stench of death to those who don't. But don't let us be discouraged, Lord. Encourage us in our hearts. Bring forth souls. There is nothing greater than for each person here to bring someone to Christ. Let them experience that joy this week. Let them be the witness obeying you like Abraham and Isaac have done so well here. So we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If anyone needs any prayer, please come.